And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, the last day of March. It's 1:07 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And, well, we're ready to turn the calendar into April, Bridget. And, well, that means warmer weather and no snow, or maybe not. Definitely warmer weather down the road.
Sounds like April is going to bring us more snowfall than March has, though.
You know, you're right. You're spot on. Yeah. And that's, you know, that happens from time to time. We do have winter storm watches in effect from Bismarck through Jamestown, the FM area, and points southward as a major winter storm. We'll call it a spring storm, actually, that is going to deposit winter-like weather throughout the area as we head into your Tuesday and Wednesday as well. So enjoy today. A lot of sunshine out there. Temperatures in the 30s right now. We'll make it up close to 40. A little bit of a breeze out of the north. We'll change to the east as we head towards evening. And then the clouds sticking up tonight. We'll drop off to a low in the mid-20s. And Tuesday, winter storm watch goes into effect in the afternoon. We'll see snow spreading in from the south. This is going to come in a couple of waves at us. We're going to first get, as warm air tries to push up from the south, we'll get that snow coming in from the south on Tuesday afternoon into Tuesday evening. And then that will lift northward as we head towards midnight on Tuesday. And we'll probably see a break in the precip briefly. And then the main system comes out at us through the Rockies on Wednesday. And that's when the winds ramp up and we could see periods of heavy snow on Wednesday morning into Wednesday early afternoon. And windy conditions. This is going to be that wet, heavy snow. So not a lot of blowing around in the daytime hours with temperatures at or above freezing. But Tuesday night into Wednesday morning could get a little bit tricky around here. And then that snow will wind down Wednesday evening with total snowfall right now expected in the FM area. About 4 to 8 inches. There's going to be an area out to our west from Jamestown, maybe through Lisbon, curving back around from about Wahpeton through Edina, Detroit Lakes. Those areas could pick up, anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of snow. And we're even getting some indications it could be locally higher in the far southeastern part of the state and in the lakes country. So something we'll keep an eye on. But the good news out of all this, Bridget, is the moisture content in this is going to be very high. So if you melt it all down, there will be most areas should get at least a half inch to an inch of liquid, and some areas could get close to an inch and a half of liquid out of this. So great news. Great, great news.
Well, we'd like all of that to recharge our soil system. We'd very much like there to be some frost out of the ground so we can take that moisture in. Mm-hmm. That would be very helpful right now for everybody. Nonetheless, we also know that there's more coming later this month, perhaps in the form of rainfall, and that's all right, too. We don't have to have it all in one shot, you might say.
Right, right, exactly. And this is after this, we dry out, it looks like, for about 10 days or so until we get towards mid-month, and then that's when we'll start to see that active part of the LRC cycle coming in. Also, don't forget, this Thursday on the Jay Thomas Show, following Weather and Ag in Focus, Bridget, myself, Gary Lezak will all be on Jay's show from 2 to 5 talking about what this upcoming spring and summer look like. So we'll have our LRC spring and summer outlook. We'll detail when the wetter periods are going to be, when we can expect severe weather throughout the area. And is it going to be a drier than normal summer? Is it going to be wetter than normal? What about temperatures? We'll run down all those details, and we'll be taking your questions, too, on Thursday. Again, that's on the Jay Thomas Show from 2 to 5. So it should be a good show, Bridget. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a tricky summer for some of us, but some of us will have plenty of moisture. So we'll kind of run down where we're expecting all that to kind of iron itself out this Thursday.
Well, especially as we look further west in North Dakota, because we've got certain areas of the state that do have drought conditions, and they have been growing, you know, especially as you look in that western part of North Dakota, north of Dickinson. Mm-hmm. The whole western side of the state is drier, but certainly as you get north of Dickinson, closer to Watford City, Williston, they are in the red when it comes to drought right now. And also keep that in mind, because even though today is a day where we don't have snow and we are going to be getting some more, because of these dry conditions, if anyone is looking at doing some burning, you want to burn out some cattails, some ditches, sloughs, whatever the case might be, please remember that there are areas of the state that are under fire warnings. And if we have winds come up, those can take off pretty quickly. So we just want to be very cautious about what could be happening with fire potential, even this early on in April as well. And right. Don't forget, if you get a chance to watch us, whether it's today or all week, you can find us live on our Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV. You'll find us on WDAY Weather and Ag in Focus. You can follow along, and especially later today with our guests, you're going to want to be able to see the graphics that we're going to be sharing and looking at with Chris Sherman. He's with Tech Support Farm. And just remember, technology on the farm should not just be the technology that starts your tractors and gets them running down the field. It should be everything that supports software, data, your computers, and what's happening in your office. You're going to want to make sure to listen today as Chris talks more about passwords, hacking, some statistics. And every time Chris comes on with us, I get a little bit nervous because I feel like I'm not doing enough things right. But that's where he can come in to help us do things better. And that's, again, Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm.
Have you ever had any of your accounts ever hacked into, Bridget, that you know of? Or?
Sort of. I've had someone try to duplicate me on Instagram, but I got that shut down pretty fast. I've had when you think about social media accounts, I've had someone, try to get into my Snapchat account. But overall, as far as banking and so forth, I haven't. Now, here's where some lessons were learned in the past, having worked in a corporate setting, where understanding the importance of a VPN matters. Also, knowing the difference between when you are traveling, you're at hotels and so forth, and that you probably shouldn't be doing your online banking when you're hooked up to the free Wi-Fi at a hotel. That matters. So some of those things have helped, but overall, I have not responded to the Nigerian prince who seems to think that somehow he's going to bless me with a tremendous amount of money. It's been pretty quiet otherwise.
Well, you never know,
I think I might on this one. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb in the bunch, but I think I got that one right. So we'll see where it goes from there. Now, some things that are happening around the world globally, Japan is looking at having to dive into some of their emergency rice supplies, which is the first time they're going to have to do that. Reason being, their 2023 rice crop was not very good. So going into 24, they did not have a lot of holding stocks and were very concerned about where that would go for 24. Their 24 crop seems like it's been about average, but unfortunately, they've already had to start dipping into that emergency supply in order to rebuild what they've got. That's probably akin to what we see with the egg prices over here, with people being worried about supply. Our egg and our diet is probably similar to rice in Japan. And so this is actually a bit of a warning sign as far as weather is concerned and production in that region. Speaking of production, today we had a WASDE report from the USDA talking about where we're going to be in our corn, soybean, and wheat acres for the coming year. For 2025, we are anticipating corn to be up slightly, soybeans down about 4%, and wheat down about 2% on overall acres. And I don't think that was any big swing from what folks were thinking. That sounds like it's probably falling fairly well into line as to where most of our commodity traders were already thinking it would be. And that also falls into line where folks are currently buying their corn, soybean, and other seed availability for the coming year. So I don't think we'll see any tremendous changes in that. It's always important to note that in order for us to have a better price, and it's nice to see somebody else not have as good of a year weather-wise. So I'm sorry, Iowa, if you guys get a drought and we don't, I'm okay with that. That would be good for us up here. But then also think about other countries. When you look at, say, Argentina and Brazil, if they were to have a drought, that would positively affect our markets. So maybe that's something to consider for the weather special on Thursday, Dean, is not only what's happening here in our region, but what are you seeing in South America, right, and what's their growing season going to look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that will matter to us.
Definitely. No doubt. No doubt. Well, we got Chris coming up, right, Bridget? Chris Sherman?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Chris, if he's not there, he's going to be in studio
quick.
He has sent us a whole list of discussion topics and also some graphics that we're going to follow. So again, watch closely for those. We're looking forward to seeing them. And a big thank you. Friday night, I was fortunate enough to be the speaker for Fort Ransom's Crop and Livestock Improvement Association. Great crowd, about 200 people down there. They had award honorees. There were students there, the FFA students were doing a 50-50 raffle. It was a great night. So just thanks to them for the invitation. I much appreciate being allowed to come in and visit with all of you like you did on Friday night down in Lisbon. So
good deal. Right. Good deal.
Yeah. All right. Let's check those markets with American Ag Network. And when we return, we'll talk with Chris Sherman of Tech Support Farm. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Glad you're here today. Maybe you're in the shop getting ready for planting season. Might be in the garage getting some of those garden bedding plants ready to go outdoors. And with any luck, you're just kind of tidying things up at your desk, because that's what I've spent my morning up to. So glad you had the chance to tune us in and listen today. We appreciate that. And today we have the opportunity to visit with our guest, Chris Sherman. He's with Tech Support Farm. Don't forget, as we are talking with Chris, you are welcome to make calls and visit with us directly. You can reach us on the JLA insurance phone line. That is 701-293-9000. We'll also be keeping an eye out for emails, ag@flagfamily.com or at weather or ag@flagfamily.com. You can get to either Dean or myself. Chris Sherman. All right. One of the things that you sent us today, first of all, is a video that's going to play while we talk, and it's going to play on the live stream for folks to look at, because you want folks to get ready and think about what they should be doing as we get ready for planting season when disaster should strike. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world before farmers even go to the field.
Well, I mean, as of right now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that everybody's connectivity is up and making sure that networks are running securely. I know that a lot of guys, you know, we tend to get out in the field and then everything else goes, you know, goes to the back burner, and we don't even think about it until harvest. So we are pushing everybody really hard. If you've got issues out there, if you've got things that need to be taken care of, whether it's, you know, connection issues or computer problems or, you know, even, you know, software issues that, you know, you're having an issue with, let's get those taken care of, you know, especially in the next 2 weeks. That is definitely something we'd like to help you guys out with. And then, you know, obviously from a cybersecurity perspective, if you guys are interested in, you know, kind of securing your environment and, you know, putting together a package that's right for you, it does not take an awful lot of effort on anybody else's part. And so we can kind of get those things kind of buttoned up and tidied up before everybody's back out in the field.
And Chris, what's one of the biggest mistakes you see being made in terms of being vulnerable, getting your account or anything hacked? Is it just not a secure enough password, or
it is passwords and it is definitely emails?
Okay,
both of those are massive problems. I know the last time we talked, we were talking about, you know, emails, and that is a major issue. Using your personal email address for business purposes, not a good idea. You need to have a professional domain, and then you need to be, you know, using all of the best practices that we talked about last time.
And what would be the difference? Like somebody out there, like, well, what's the difference? I've used my personal email for work purposes in the past, and I've never had any problem with it.
So the primary problem is that personal email addresses, whether it's, you know, like Gmail, Hotmail, dare I say AOL or anything like that,
you can't
filter those, and you can't, you know, we can't commercially protect those. When you have a professional domain, we can actually get in there and we can filter those and do a better job of protecting them.
Okay.
But the other one by far is passwords. Everybody, you know, passwords are like the keys, right? They're the keys to the locks to the kingdom. And when we're running around with little itty bitty passwords like admin 123, unfortunately that is like the little luggage, you know, locks of the 90s, you know, they're just there for looks and that's all they really are. So
okay,
we need to beef those up significantly.
Gotcha.
Well, so speaking of those passwords, you mentioned that the majority of data breaches come from the weak password, because it's not hard to figure out, right? If you really want to be part of the criminal activity, they're using apps or whatever you want to call it to unlock what people are doing. So where do we start? I mean, what's our minimum passwords that we should be using? And if you say 16 letters, I'm going to have to get a pen and paper out to start figuring out combinations of what I'm going to make
So the minimum is about 12. 12 is a good one. The other thing that, you know, is really important to think about is that, you know, your passwords don't necessarily have to be, you know, just this rambled, you know, hodgepodge of letters and characters, but make it something that, mm-hmm. that works for you. But please, you know, don't use important dates. You know, don't use your pet's name. Don't use your kid's birthday. Don't use your address or anything like that. Those are far too easy to crack because that's general, you know, what's called PII or personally identifying information. And we can most of the time figure it out.
And Chris, there's three common hacking methods. I've heard of one of these, but the other two I have not. You want to explain the three common hacking methods that these scumbags are trying to use?
Well, you know, the first one is what's called a brute force attack. And essentially in a brute force attack, you're taking, you know, millions and millions of different combinations of letters and characters and putting them through the system.
Okay.
The other, and that is typically the most common approach. Yeah. The other one is known as a dictionary attack, or basically tools that are used to put together words and that sort of thing and attack it that way. A lot of people, you know, especially in a social engineering aspect, are using like a dictionary attack, or they're trying to, you know, come up with something for you. So, you know, they might go on, you know, white pages or something like that and figure out, you know, your middle name and then your last name. And then they, you know, they kind of try to extrapolate what different password combinations there would be.
Okay.
And go that approach. The last one is social engineering. And again, that, you know, that ties back into, you know, the dictionary attack where we're trying to come up with a profile for you and figure out, you know, what the best approach is and what kind of passwords you might actually use. The other thing that's interesting is that there is oftentimes passwords that have been captured through data leaks. And so one that we've seen, you know, in the federal government level would be, unfortunately, our, you know, Defense Department and some individuals there where they actually found that their passwords, usernames, that sort of thing was actually leaked on the dark web anyway, and they were able to find that information. So it's not even a matter of hacking, but just going through and gleaning based on who you're looking for. So. And that is another service that we actually offer is what's called dark web monitoring. So we can actually look at your profile. We can look at your, you know, your information. And if we see it out on the dark web, we can actually put a stop to it and take care of it.
How much, and I don't know if you have this stat, but this just came to mind. How much money, let's in our ag community, how much are they losing per year from hacking?
So... And this is what everybody, you know, everybody wants to know this magical number. And unfortunately, we can't know what that number is if people are not reporting it accurately, right?
Right.
We know that, you know, we know that it's in the hundreds of billions. And the problem is though that we know it's significantly larger. That's the tip of the iceberg. And the iceberg underneath is so much larger. And the reason why is because people are not reporting it. They don't know how to report it. I mean, you know, if you have an email that is, you know, a phishing email, or if you have a hacking incident, or if you have any of these things, the official protocol, if you don't have, you know, an insurance company or a cyber, you know, security company, is to file what's called an IC3, and it's through the FBI. Nobody knows about this. Nobody knows where it's located. Nobody knows how to get to it. Nobody, and really, you
probably a good thing.
Well, I mean, the problem is that, you know, then you get there and the questions that they're asking you and the you know, the information that they're looking for is oftentimes information that you don't have. And so you have to, you know, yeah, that's why, you know, a lot of this doesn't get reported simply because it is such a complex process. And, you know, there's probably a dozen questions or more and you have to upload, you know, documentation. You have to, I mean, there's all the stuff that goes into it. So
it's a headache.
It is. Oh. It's absolutely a headache. And unfortunately it's a newer problem. And so therefore we haven't really streamlined our reporting process. And you can call your local police department, you can call your, you know, sheriff's office or whatever. And unfortunately they might, you know, if they know what of this, they'll send you over to this website. But again, you have to know all the information, you know, that you're required to put in there. I mean, and it's right down to, can you identify, you know, the threat actor's IP address?
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I got hacked. I don't know who did it.
And so, and again, so, you know, if you think about it.
Frankly, I can't give my IP address.
Right.
How am I supposed to use somebody else's?
But then if you flip to the other side, if you give them just the vague information that, hey, I was hacked and this is how much I got taken out and yes, I talked to my bank, they don't really have much to go off of.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, this is why, you know, prevention is, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Yeah. And that's why we need to really beef up our passwords and, you know, be vigilant inside of our emails.
Hmm. All right, Chris, we need to touch on our bottom of the hour news, but I want to know when we come back. Whenever you go to a website, or I shouldn't say whenever, but often you'll go to a website, and I don't care if that means that I am doing something that I'm ordering online. Maybe I'm doing it with my implement dealer or whomever, and it says, should I save this password for you?
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to talk
not.
About whether or not
no.
that's a good idea.
Yeah. Not to you know, rob you of the cliffhanger there, but no, do not save the password.
All right, and we're going to find out why and what we can do alternatively when we return with Chris Sherman of Tech Support Firm. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thrilled that you are here this afternoon. It's good to hear and see from everybody. And remember, you can go ahead and be sending us your questions at 701-293-9000. That is our JLS insurance phone, excuse me, JLA insurance phone line. All right, Chris, you warned me. You said it's a very bad idea to save my password when a website asks me to do it. What should I do instead?
You should be using a paid-for password manager, you know, and whether it's, you know, like Google Authenticator or some of these other, you know, there's like another password manager out there, Authy, those kinds of things are definitely the way to go. And the reason why is because they're a completely separate application and they have multiple layers of encryption. And then at the same time, they also require 2FA and MFA, and then they have, you know, these encryption keys to actually access it. So the only person that can actually access that information is you. It's not like it's available anywhere else. So that would be,
okay,
that is the best approach.
That is the best approach by all means. And okay, you have mentioned something about default credentials, meaning factory default logins, et cetera. We get new machines, we get on new routers, et cetera, and we just want to go with what it tells us because
yeah.
many people are afraid if they push the wrong button, it's like a bomb and the whole thing's going to blow. So what should we be doing differently?
Okay, so like in the instance of the router, you know, we have seen where certain telecommunication companies are having individual passwords that are now coming out specific to that device. But again, the security level and that, you know, that level of you know, how robust that password is pretty low. There's no special characters. A lot of times it's all lowercase, that sort of thing. You want to make sure that your password is peppered with interesting things. Like you want uppercase and lowercase letters. You want numbers. You want special characters. You want all of these different things to improve, you know, the complexity of it and make it significantly harder to actually hack. So in that, and just to kind of touch back on that.
Making it complex.
Yes, make it complex yeah. and change the password. Username is fine. If you want to leave the username as admin, that's fine. But beef up that password. And, I mean, think about this too. Where's that password, the default one, located? It's sitting on the device. It's a label on the device itself. And so, you know, if somebody breaks into your house or you get a nosy neighbor or something like that, and they just look at the bottom of your router and they snap a picture, suddenly they have access to your network. And that's not something any of us really want.
And Addison, do you have that chart that shows how many numbers of characters? There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at this, and this just floored me.
Isn't it?
That is just – so explain that for people that are just listening and not watching us online. Obviously, you want more than six characters.
Correct.
That's just starting off.
But think about the option of characters that you have. In the first portion, if you have numbers only, there's only 10 numbers to choose from. One, you know, 1 through 9 and a 0, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you go a little bit further, now you go to lowercase letters. And that's only 26 characters. So if you did numbers and letters, now all of a sudden you're at, you know, 36. Right. But then if you go with numbers, letters and uppercase, now you're up to, you know, 50, 62. And then you go special characters. I don't know. I have no idea how many special characters there are. But it's this concept that if you have, you know, a 6-digit password, it can be cracked instantly through a brute force attack because there's just only so many options and it can literally go that quickly.
Well,
however, if you go and you start doing lowercase, you automatically improve it by 4 seconds. And then if you, you know, add in lowercase and uppercase, now you're getting into the minutes. And then if you throw in special characters, and then you improve the number of characters that are inside of that password, your, you know, your complexity and your security goes up exponentially.
See, all my that's another question. Is it okay? And I think I know the answer, but like my password right here that I have on most of my devices, it would take 33,000 years to hack, which I guess is good.
Okay. How many characters do you have?
Hold on. I want in on this, though.
So you have,
go ahead, Bridget.
He just said you have the same password on multiple devices.
And that's where that was my next question. That's where I was going to next.
Okay, so and this is where we have to go back to, you know, in the break we were talking about passwords or keys, right? Your personal identifying information is like the information inside your wallet, your driver's license, social, that sort of thing. The keys, if you have one key that opens up all of your house and your safe and you know, your vehicles and your office and all of these different things, suddenly it's only, you know, yes, it might take 33,000, you know, years to get there.
Right.
However, once that's cracked, then we're off to the races.
Yeah.
And we've got access to everything.
So never have the same password on multiple devices or sites.
Yep. Okay. Yes. On multiple applications.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Even if
it's that strong, yeah. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, is a gamble, right?
I totally know. Yeah, I understand.
The other thing, though, is that if you do have an appropriate, you know, secure password, you don't need to be changing it every 3 months. You don't need to be changing it every 90 days or whatever. You can change it, you know, every 6 months to a year, and you're going to be just fine.
Okay.
The problem is that when you have really weak passwords, you know, Smith Farms 123, then you really need to be changing it frequently and changing that, you know, exclamation point to an @ to a #, and you know how we all do that. So, and please don't use the year. I mean, it does nobody any good to be Smith Farms 2024, and well, it's 2025 now. You're just making it easier for everybody.
Okay.
So.
Now, when you tell us to make sure to use the paid-for password devices,
yes,
this could be used across multiple devices, multiple platforms. It doesn't matter if you're working in your farm office, in your farm equipment. But also, I heard you say if you have a nosy neighbor and they're hanging around and that list of passwords is hanging by your computer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. But let's even back this up.
Into your office.
Let's even back this up a little bit further. We've got, you know, we have clients that we just, you know, we are constantly, you know, reminding them politely that you have got to put a password on your phone. It does nobody any good when your phone is sitting there at the restaurant and somebody can just, you know, with a swipe of the screen be inside your password. You have to have a password in your phone. I know it's annoying every time you want to go into your phone to enter that, you know, PIN number or whatever the case is. You know, even if you use biometrics, a fingerprint, you know, a picture or whatever, but have some sort of form of security because, you know, really, if you leave it out, it's no different than leaving your keys or your wallet out laying somewhere else. Same with your computer. You know, I know that everybody, you know, likes to have the computer start up and then suddenly they're sitting at the desktop. Have that password. Put a layer of security between you and everybody else. I mean, think about, would you really want, you know, the guys on, you know, your farmhands or your employees or anybody else just being able to sit down and log in? The one last thing, and this is for the, you know, maybe for the older generation. I know we all have those great big, you know, desktop calendars, and we think we're being so sneaky and so clever when at the back of the, you know, at the calendar, we jot down all our passwords underneath and then cover it up with the months. Don't. Seriously. We all know that is the quintessential key underneath the mat. You know, everybody knows where it's hidden. So.
That's exactly where it's all at. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we go back to the symbols, letters, combinations, et cetera? Yeah.
Yes.
Can you do a password that's entirely made up of those? And is that sort of the uncrackable password?
No. You want to do a combination of letters, numbers, and upper and case and lowercase and special characters. The one thing is that there's this term that is a little bit weird, but it's called leetspeak. And leetspeak is actually the replacement of letters for special characters and numbers. So in leetspeak, you know, the letter I might be an upside down exclamation point. It could be a number one. You know, it could be an L. And basically what you're doing is you're making a password that actually is a readable password to you because you know what it is, but you're replacing those characters and making it more complex. Another good one would be, and this is probably the most common, is A is getting replaced with the at sign, right? An H could be a number four. It's just an upside down H, right? Could be, you know, or I'm sorry, an S could be the number five. You can do, I mean, any number of these things, you can actually replace them and you can actually replace those little, you know, letters with actual characters so that you are actually creating something that is readable and rememberable to you. And you just have to remember which special characters you replaced with what. That is a great way to do that. In the cybersecurity world, it's called munging. And it's just basically making a complex password that is not so complex to the person that has it. So going back to like Smith Farms, you know, you can replace the I with an upside down, with an exclamation point, and it's an upside down I. You can replace the H with a number four. You can, you know, make it a little more complex and do Smith Farms, replace the A with an at sign, the S with a five. And so on and so forth. It's a great way to make your passwords a little bit more rememberable. And easy to recall.
I appreciate that you've said so many good points that we need to remember. The one that's going to be hardest, of course, for many is don't reuse passwords across multiple sites, because I would bet money that we all have about 5 passwords in our head that we use repeatedly. We just keep moving them around other places, and that's maybe a bad idea.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Well, we've got call on Tom's on line one. He's got a question for you, Chris. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, so how dangerous or safe is it to keep your passwords in an app, you know, on the phone, you know, say in the menu or something?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, like if you have like a Samsung and you've got Samsung Notes or Moto Notes or something like that, unfortunately, you know, the issue is that those passwords are they're accessible without any sort of security. You can't lock those apps. The ones that you want to, you know, use are go to your app store, go to the Play Store or whatever, and you actually want to be purchasing a specific password manager that requires a password to gain access, whether it's, you know, your face or your fingerprint or a PIN number or something like that, that is the best route to go, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Because if you think about, if you think about using like a note-taking app or something like that, it's no different than leaving it in a notebook on your desk or maybe a spreadsheet on your computer. It's readily available and accessible by anybody.
So is that available through over the air online or not? I'm not talking other people. I mean getting into your phone by way of, I don't know, a cloud. I mean, can hackers get into that?
Yes.
I'm not talking about, what I was wondering. Okay.
Yeah. Tom actually leads to the question I wanted to ask, because when you have a spreadsheet on your laptop that has all your passwords in it, again, whether it's through a malware or something, especially if you're not using VPNs or encryption, it's not that hard to get to that item, even though it's not considered online, right?
The other thing is that you need to think that when you are looking at file folders, you can actually search the word passwords, or you can look things up, and it will actually scan inside the document as well. So, you know, it doesn't, you could name the thing recipes, you know, and people would still be able to figure out where it is just based on the content that's inside of it. And you have the ability to preview. A lot of times you can preview what's inside the file without even opening it. So.
Wow. Well, thanks, Tom. Appreciate your phone call. Man, it makes me not even want to go online anymore.
and there are guys that are doing that. And, you know, unfortunately, we just have to be mindful of security.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and I know that folks think that the VPN or the two-phase MFAs, the multi-factor authentication, is a pain.
Yeah.
But realistically, Chris, we have to do those things.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. I mean, you know, I would imagine that back in the day when they first started doing deadbolts, everybody was really upset that, you know, now they've got two keys that they have to lock their door with. But, you know, eventually we got used to it, you know. We have to get used to this. We have to be comfortable with this. And we just have to remember that it's a very rapidly changing environment and the world is changing. And we just have to adapt and, you know, and learn new things and be comfortable with it.
Wow. And that's why you're here with us. And
absolutely.
So Chris is going to join us monthly through the summer. He's a bit of our own cryptologist or cyberologist. I'm not sure which is the right word for you, Chris.
That works.
We're going to figure that out. I mean, if you're going to wear your Superman cape and show off all of your great skills, we're going to appreciate that as well. So
absolutely.
We will get a chance to visit with you here in April. We look forward to that.
And Chris, if anybody needs to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
You can call us at 701-446-8518, or you can reach us at techsupport.farm.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining
us. Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, yeah, you bet. And when we come back, we will have a recap on the weather, and Bridget's got a couple of ag topics to go over as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:55 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the mid-30s and making it up to about 40 for this afternoon. And, enjoy today because, well, we kind of know what's heading around the corner. We do have a winter storm watch in effect for much of the area south of Highway 2. This stretches all the way from Bismarck through Fargo, all the way up, towards Bemidji and points south from there. So, a lot of winter weather is expected with this system. The further north you go, they'll be out of the woods, once you get north to Highway 2. It doesn't mean they'll be totally missed by this, but, the impacts will be less, far to the north. Again, this is more than likely going to be our biggest snow of the season here in the FM area. That's not saying a whole lot because we really haven't had much, to begin with, but there will be some parts of the area, favoring the far southeastern corner of the state into Lakes Country, that conservatively could get about 10 inches of snow. And there's couple of our models giving quite a bit more than that. So we'll see how this pans out. But as I said earlier in the show, about 4 to 8 expected in and around the FM area with higher amounts south and southwest and also to our east. So keep up to date on the forecast. If you have any travel plans later tomorrow afternoon, your morning commute will be fine. But by evening, it's going to start getting messy around here. And then Wednesday, especially the first half of the day, looks pretty darn tricky, for travel around much of the area. So might want to kind of postpone any travel plans until, if you can't get them done early tomorrow, probably going to want to wait till Thursday or Friday this week. And the good news about this is, you know, this time of the year, try and look at the bright side. It's not going to last as long. So we won't have to. It should start to melt off by the weekend, so that's good news there.
Well, that will be very good news. But again, we know that this month can bring quite a bit of moisture, and we're just going to have to keep our eyes open for when that's going to happen in case we run into travel trouble, et cetera, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. One other thing you got to keep your eyes on and pay attention to is if you were attending a livestock auction in Argentina here in the States, if you're going to an auction barn, you'll be sitting in chairs around a ring, and the livestock are going to move through the ring, and you can bid on them as they go through, particularly, let's say, beef animals. Down there, they are able to sell 10,000 head per hour because the auctioneer, as well as the buyers, move from pen to pen, and you generally have only about 30 seconds to bid on that pen or that lot of animals before you move on. There's a reason why Argentina's livestock industry is substantially large. They exported over 935,000 metric tons of beef in 2024 alone. And so they've got to move quickly in order to keep up with supply and demand. Their largest auction barn covers 74 acres in one swath. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what their livestock business looks like compared to ours.
All right. And don't forget, this Thursday on Jay Thomas Show, right following Weather and Ag and Focus, we'll have our LRC Spring and Summer Outlook. Be sure to join Bridget, myself, and Gary for that show this coming Thursday. So for Bridget, for myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.